Well, here we are, a bunch of broken people. And it's hard to admit that, but sometimes we can accept our own brokenness, but what about the brokenness of others? Last week we talked about who would pray for forgiveness when they're unforgivable. And we learned that with repentance, there is no such thing as being unforgivable. As 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unfortunately, God has an easier time forgiving than we do. Jesus tells this story in Matthew chapter 18. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. As if that were possible. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a couple hundred silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? The king has unlimited forgiveness. 10,000 bags of gold forgiveness. But not the servant. The one who had been forgiven did not forgive. What's your limit of forgiveness? Are you like the servant who had a few hundred bucks is his limit? Or are you like the master who forgave an infinite sum? What's your limit on forgiveness? When does something become unforgivable? You know, Jesus tells this parable right after Peter asks him, when can I stop forgiving people? He says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So what's your limit? When does something become unforgivable? When your brother or sister sin against you that 78th time? Is that too much? Or maybe it's not the number of sins, but it's the kind of sin. Last week we talked about David and all of his adultery and assault and murder. And God forgave him. Could you? Could you forgive him? This week we began the trial selection for the man who killed George Floyd. And the jury will have to make a decision on guilt, and the courts will have to determine any punishment. But imagine that you are George Floyd's family. Could you forgive? Could you forgive? Is that your limit? Would that be unforgivable? Or maybe it's not quite such a high limit for you. What about burglary? Could you forgive that? When I was a teen, my uncle gave us his precious coin collection. It had rare coins going back into the 1800s, And of course, we showed it off to our friends. And one of them broke into the house and stole it and spent it. Probably at face value, these priceless coins, he probably got a pack of gum or something for them. Could you forgive something like that? Or maybe your unforgivable threshold is even lower. I read recently about a bride who was in therapy because she was unable to forgive her sister for the crime of not being happy enough at her wedding. Not being happy enough was unforgivable for this bride. So what is unforgivable for you? Think about that for a minute. And then listen to the story of Stephen from Acts chapter 7. Stephen has been unjustly accused of blasphemy. He's been dragged before the court of the Sanhedrin, where he reminds them of their role in Jesus' murder. And when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he died. Who would pray like that? "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." When the sin that he is talking about is his own murder. Who would pray for something like that? Only somebody who followed in the footsteps of Jesus, who when he was being murdered, said from the cross, "Father, forgive them." Do you remember that? Read it from Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. What if we prayed like that? Could we pray like that? The Bible tells us to forgive as the Lord forgave us in Colossians 3:13, but how can we when somebody is unforgivable? And I think sometimes what stands in the way of forgiveness is a misunderstanding of what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is not condoning what somebody did, and forgiveness is not ignoring or denying the hurt that happened. Forgiveness isn't minimizing things. And it's not giving somebody a free pass to hurt you in the future. No, forgiveness is setting aside our desire for revenge and following in the footsteps of Jesus to a better life. And in this, there are two different kinds of forgiveness. There's one kind of forgiveness that is forgiveness as acceptance. It's accepting that a terrible wrong has been done, maybe even something that feels unforgivable, but choosing for our own soul's sake not to hold on to the bitterness that will destroy us, not to nurse the hurt. It's forgiveness for the sake of our own soul so that it doesn't drag us down. And Jesus demonstrates this kind of forgiveness as well. This is the kind of forgiveness that Jesus and Stephen show when they're being murdered, and yet they say, "Forgive." You know, Stephen could have gone to his grave cursing the Sanhedrin. He could have gone to his grave praying, "Lord, may these people be hurt by you as much as they are hurting me." But instead he said, don't hold this sin against them. And he was such at peace, even in his pain, that it describes his death as going to sleep. That's acceptance, kind of forgiveness. It's a forgiveness that can't be controlled by the other person. It isn't dependent on their action or their recognition of what they've done, or they're even asking forgiveness. That kind of forgiveness is something that you choose because it's who you want to be. You want to be more like Jesus than those who hurt you. That's this acceptance forgiveness. And a good example of that is St. Patrick. You know, on Wednesday, it's St. Patrick's Day, the anniversary of his death. And on one day, people across the country become Irish. And you might call that cultural appropriation, except St. Patrick himself was not Irish. He got to Ireland as a teenager because Irish raiders raided his village and dragged him off and made him a slave and brought him back, sold him into slavery in Ireland, where he was put out in the fields to care for the flocks. And he came from a Christian family, but, you know, he's a teenager. He wasn't really all that much into God, and until he found himself with no family out in the fields in all kinds of weather, and he turned to the Lord in prayer. And as his prayer life developed, his faith developed. And about 6 years of this goes on before he has a dream. And in his dream, God was telling him that there was a ship waiting for him at the coast. And so he escaped, and he actually got on a ship, and it brought him back home. And he was reunited with his family. He went on to study and become a priest, a man of deep faith. And one day he had a vision of a man from Ireland coming to him with a letter from the Irish people begging him to return to Ireland. Now, why would he do that? All he got was pain and trouble in Ireland. He doesn't owe them anything. But they asked him to come back and share Christ with them. And so that's what he did. And he spent the rest of his life sharing Christ with the very people who made him a slave. He brought Christ's saving forgiveness to people who have done unforgivable things to him. And remember, this was a vision. There was no real Irish people apologizing or begging for him to come back. And yet he went anyways. This is an acceptance kind of forgiveness that says, regardless of what you do, I'm going to choose to forgive you. Just like Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them. You know, those Roman soldiers weren't there begging Christ for forgiveness. As he said, Father, forgive them, they were gambling for his clothes. But there's also another kind of forgiveness, and Jesus demonstrates that as well. It's what I call reconciliation forgiveness or relational forgiveness. It's the kind of forgiveness that takes two. It takes repentance and the acknowledgement of the hurt on the part of the offender, and it takes a willingness from you to allow the relationship to be restored. In Janice Abram Spring's book, How Can I Forgive You?, she writes of one of her therapy clients, Robin, who had a broken relationship with her mom. You see, her father had sexually abused her as a child. And when she was 12, her father left. But then a couple of years later, mom left Robin to raise her younger siblings as she chased after the father that had abused her. And after her dad died, Robin tried to reach out to her mom, but she realized that there was was two things she needed from her mom before she could forgive and reconcile. First, she needed from her mom a recognition that her mom realized the pain that she had caused Robin by abandoning her as a teen to take care of those other siblings. And then the second thing that she needed was an apology from her mom for calling her a liar when she told about the sexual abuse. Well, they shared letters back and forth for quite some time, and then they arranged to meet together. And when they got together, there was her mom with tears in her eyes, and she said, "I've been such an awful mother. There's so much I haven't been able to face. Yes, I left you when you needed me. And yes, you're not someone to lie about being raped. I'm so sorry. I hope someday you'll forgive me." And Robin reached out and said, "I do. I do. It's time to start over again." That's reconciliation forgiveness. It forgives and restores the relationship. And it's not always possible because it takes two. But it's worth praying for. And you see that kind of reconciliation forgiveness when Jesus meets with Peter on the lakeshore after the resurrection. Remember, Peter had denied even knowing Jesus three times in Jesus' hour of need. The relationship is broken. But now Jesus comes to them on the lakeshore. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, "Follow me." Jesus needs to hear Peter say, "I love you." And Peter needs to say it three times, because three times he had denied Jesus. But when he does, when Peter makes that confession three times, then Jesus offers restoration, and he gives them the same call that he had when they first met. "Follow me. Follow me." The relationship is restored. They're starting over again. So that's reconciling or relationship forgiveness. And it's not always possible, but it's worth praying for. Sometimes people do unforgivable things. And who would pray for people like that to be forgiven? Well, Jesus and Stephen and St. Patrick and Robin. And you? Me? I wonder what would happen if we did, if we prayed like that. "Father, forgive them." This week in our Better Than Fish on Friday challenge, and the challenge is to wear a cross or to carry a cross in your pocket or in your purse. And if you need a cross, there are crosses available out there in the lobby, little keychain crosses. Help yourself to one of them. And on Friday, carry it. And every time you touch it, think of the love of Jesus Christ for you that took him to the cross so he could forgive you. But I also challenge you to go just a little bit farther. I challenge you to pray for forgiveness for someone that you've been having trouble forgiving. And maybe it's an acceptance kind of forgiveness, or maybe it's a reconciliation kind of forgiveness. Either way, it's worth praying for. So this Friday, when you touch that cross, give thanks for your own forgiveness. And then pray as Jesus did upon the cross. Father, forgive them. Let us pray. Oh Lord, your forgiveness is astounding, amazing. We can't even imagine it. We're so grateful for the forgiveness we have received. Help us, Lord, to follow in your footsteps for our sake and for others and for yours. May we forgive as well.